So if we could have the individual and family targeted practices, programs, and policies group come up. And I'd like to suggest that when we, when you're thinking about questions to ask for the immediately after the presentation, to think about questions which you would need to clarify in terms of the presentation, with a thought that after we have some discussion and clarifying questions, we move on to the next presentation, which will leave us some time to think about how to actually integrate across these discussions. With the idea of both thinking about what are some potential collaborations, what are some potential data sources and variables, and what would be some next steps. So if we could maybe think about questions that you need to answer, need some answer from in terms of the presentation, and then we could move on to the have a larger discussion at the end.
Hi, we were tasked with looking at the individual and family targeted practices and programs. We had a really great group and very fruitful discussions. We actually went over time. And I think the really interesting thing about this group, it was quite eclectic. We had a lot of statisticians, we had physicians, we had dietitians, exercise specialists, public health people. So it really gave us a pretty broad perspective. The variables that we sort of discussed and came up with, the psychosocial variables, we talked about the way that people use their time, diet and food preferences, obviously the physical activity and exercise component, and the inverse of that, the screen time and sedentarism. Impulsivity and self-efficacy were discussed, as well as attachment, inhibition, and issues around self-esteem and stigmatization, the teasing and things like that that go on with kids and adults. We talked about the family and the importance of the family unit in addressing the obesity epidemic, the age and developmental stage of children can play a real important role as to whether or not they become overweight or obese adults. We talked about the parental feeding styles, the types of foods that were available in the home and given to the kids. Parental influences. We discussed the role of having two working parents and the implications that that had on after-school programs for kids, and as well the screen time that these kids may have. We talked about the importance of child care support and after-school programming for kids, the role that SES and family income had. We know that kids from higher income families are less likely to become overweight. We talked about the importance of breastfeeding as well, and the cultural norms and beliefs that we may see from different underserved populations. We also discussed the importance of role modeling, and both from a parental perspective and from a societal perspective, and the accessibility to high quality foods and food purchases that the family makes. When we were looking and sort of expanding further to pathways, we looked at the psychobehavioral pathways first, and sort of the stress and coping mechanisms that people may have, the importance of addressing depression and anxiety, and the role that that may have in identifying the, I guess we'll restart that later, right? Looking for updates, okay? Addictions and substance abuse issues, imprinting, impulse control, growth and independence. As well, we had some good discussion around our perceptions of beauty and how they have changed, the importance of being lean in our society is so great, and we have this paradox where we're becoming an increasingly overweight society. The pathways for the family, we talked about the attachment to the family, again, the importance of role modeling, food security, and the way that the family chooses to spend its time, whether it's active or sedentary, preparing good meals and things like that. The data sources, We identified some data sources. As I said, we had several statisticians in the room, and we looked at some of the time use surveys. Many countries have these time use surveys. Canada, the United States, the UK, Australia all have very detailed time use surveys. Most developed countries have very large nationally representative databases on behavioral and nutrition type things. NHANES is an example. The Canadian Community Health Survey was mentioned earlier. There's some exciting longitudinal cohorts as well that have looked at growth. And the Fels and Bogalusa studies were identified. Individual intervention studies as well. There's lots of cohorts that have sort of tracked on a smaller level that could be very useful. And we talked about the importance of using high-quality indices, mental health indices, and as well physical health indices in these data sources. When we looked at the family, we identified that there were several infant growth studies that have looked at this, the obesity problems, the paired mother-child dyad surveys, longitudinal social network studies, several twin studies, and the home, standardized measurements of the home environment. Modeling techniques. You know, in recent years, we've really expanded our ability to look at these longitudinal type things, and we talked about the different longitudinal analyses that were available: linkage analyses, lag analyses, tracking analyses, the multi-level analyses as well, agent-based models, and social network analyses. And this is really an emerging science, and I think the measurement people can really help us tremendously to disentangle some of the problems that we're looking at. And I must thank Claire for this very quick, she whacked this out pretty quickly, yeah. Well done. So we drew the linkages between biological and the psychobehavioral. I think we could actually have had a spider web here, just sort of looking at the role that the and the interconnections between the psychobehavioral and family, how that feeds back to the community. And we looked at the role that media plays, in our expectations. And as well, we talked about the importance of health systems and clinicians delivering messages to families and children, with short tailored messages. So it's sort of I think everything sort of interconnects with each of the variables. The strongest links I think were identified here, and finally, we identified that we need to stop the production of the couch potato chair. Okay, thank you.
Maybe it's useful that you put back your diagram.
Put back what?
The slide before.
Oh, sure, of course, yes. You don't like my couch potato chair?
So are there any questions for clarification or came up during the presentation? Yes, we'll have a discussion in terms of thinking about across the themes when all the teams have had a chance to sort of present.
The other databases are all the cardiovascular reduction projects, mm-hmm. which I'm sure you talked about, right?
Yeah.
The Cochrane database on interventions on childhood obesity showed that were four that worked out of 22 studies. Huh? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They only worked at very minor levels.
I also want to share with you, I think longitudinal studies, there is a National Growth and Health Study that NHGRI sponsored. It's on the web, it's free access, but you have to get through the IRB approval, that kind of stuff, just follow their procedures. And there are also other longitudinal study, masketing studies. It's a study of children and over time. Now, I think they're in their fourth decade, and it consists of pretty frequent measurements and a huge number of study populations. So, I don't know about CATCH study. It's a school-based. This is an intervention study. It's also accessible. You have to go through the web to request for use of the study. So there are a number of big studies that it can be used. We just have to put some efforts to put it together. And then once they're put together, we need to harmonize the data because each study has a different naming of the variables and a different measuring skills. Hopefully, majority are the same, but there are some differences. Okay.
I did have one question.
Sure.
Could you mentioned image choice. Could you say a little bit more about how your group talked about image choice?
I don't really know what that is, to be honest. Claire?
Mentioned, I think there's just a term of what you were trying to do. So image choice, in the previous slide, I put it under what is beautiful and what is cool. So I think that's really important in terms of what they think is beautiful and what is a realistic goal setting. So that comes from not just not just from families, but also schools and also the media portrays that what is beautiful and what is, you know, healthy. And what is cool is more on the behavioral side. So I think we talked a little bit about how do we make exercising cool? And, well, watching TV is probably is no longer that cool anymore, but the cool factor is really important for shaping, at least teenagers' behavior. So how do you make drinking water instead of drinking sugar-sweetened beverages cool, and that requires not just parents, but also your peers, your schools, and education, and also the larger pop culture to shape that. So I think that's just a choice of what kind of image they portray themselves growing up from a kid to become an adult.
I also recall that we discussed the way that the media portrays beauty as well can be a real, I think, a challenge for us, because we see these women with BMIs of 17 on the covers of all the magazines, and it may be an unrealistic expectation for most people to get that way.
So I just want to make a comment about your data sources in this conversation. I don't know whether you left this to other groups, but your data sources really are not getting at a lot of these other issues, like the strength of the messaging environment around cool and beautiful and stuff like that. They're getting at what people perceive. Now, maybe that's because other groups you were left that to the media group or something like that. But mm-hmm. We need, I think, more novel data sources to understand what is the environment in which people are making these choices, or, well, they're getting these social norms and these images from. So can you comment about that? Did you talk about it?
We didn't. I think it's a great point, though. I it sort of brings up the I think the importance of us starting to branch out and look to other levels of expertise and other professionals to address this very complex problem. But it's a great point.
That's great. Any other questions?
Just a comment on the same thing in the food sequence we were discussing this. What is beautiful in different cultures is quite varied. Mm-hmm. And when Dr. Shetty mentioned the variation in Egypt, in Saudi Arabia, in South Asia, in Polynesian Islands, what is beautiful is different. So BMIs and in India, when I was young, the most kind of sought after Bollywood actress was quite chubby, and to be chubby is beautiful. So what one strives to be is a social norm, and it's a very, very different thing compared to the entire discussion which is going on. And nobody wants to touch this critical issue, and to have a little tire on a woman, and a blouse is worn, the sari is worn, but it is to show this. So this has profound implications in the whole process, and how do we correlate? There is no database which really responds to this.
It's a great point.
Thank you.
Okay.